An eager chill runs through the world. The air is getting cooler, revealing something that was always just a matter of degrees away. But context is everything. Environment is important. Where you are affects who you are and what you're thinking about. When you want to go to a deep place, where the primal aspects of self are laid bare, for inspection or modification, a place like the place you're presently progressing toward, you of course control your environment first. All creatures are controlled by their environment. Attempts to master the context we live in are why we've adapted so well. Our primary adaptation response is to change our environment. The reed which fails to bend in heavy wind will snap. The person who doesn't learn to endure and even enjoy their environmental circumstances will be unhappy. Or else you can change your environment. But that's often difficult. We set aside some zones to be climate-controlled and safe and comfortable, and we accept we will sometimes have to step outside, into places less hospitable. Plus, when you're in a place as deep as you are now, you might find these words persuasive enough, convincing enough, that there's another option available to you, an option to change how you react to your environment at a deep subconscious level. Something we can do together. Make things you might dislike about your environment become tied to sensations that are more enjoyable. So that while you must endure unfavorable circumstances, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. A potential for pleasure. To make your mind incentivize you to adapt to change and overcome. So first, let us narrow in on one particular seasonally appropriate environmental factor. Temperature. A lot of our environmental control efforts are dedicated to keeping temperature in the right range for our comfort. But you need to exist in the world. And seasons can get colder, or places can be cooler. We need to step outside, leave the confines of pleasant indoor space. And of course, sometimes there's a breeze or other reduction in ambient temperature that can make even an indoor space uncomfortable. So let's adjust how you perceive the change in temperature in the first place. We don't think about it much, really. Our focus when we are in a place where the temperature is inhospitable is usually either on doing enough activity to warm up, protecting ourselves, or getting out of the cold place as soon as practical. But your whole body is touched by the cold. It affects all of you when it happens, and your body reports it to your brain. So that you can respond. And not just the sensation of cold, but the way it physically changes the air you breathe. The way sensation changes. The way the process by which your body reacts to the chill becomes forefront in your mind if you were unprepared for it. All changes in temperature involve your body responding. Equalizing temperature to the outside air. At the core of you is a furnace, the pumping movement of blood, the reaction of electricity, chemicals making you a source of warmth through exercise and energy. When you step into the vast coldness of a world late in its year, you begin to equalize your temperature to the air around you. That's normal. That's going to happen. This chills your skin, but it also warms the air, as you trade the warmth beating off of you into the wider world. Of course, the warmth exits your body, but because the coldness is so all-encompassing, so vast, your heat is barely able to make any change at all. And eventually it vanishes away, dissipated utterly. While this may seem disheartening, also visualize the process that will happen in reverse when you're warming up. Your body cools, so you step into a warm place, rub your hands together, close a door behind, take refuge in a shelter, lock everything up, move closer to the heat, maybe drape a blanket over your shoulders, cuddle against a friend. Anything of the sort. Anything you do that makes you less cold means the coldness is leaving your body, equalizing with the environment. Just as the tiny viewpoint that is you, the biological machine pushing body heat out into the world, was unable to warm the whole outdoors, so too the clinging cold you carry inside with you will fade once you move into warmer space, beating against the climate control in vain, leaving you warm in the end. But if your body's already going to push the cooler air out of you, maybe it could take some other inconvenient things with it. Let's talk about your body, how it works, how the cycle of arousal and enjoyment exists within you, and how we can tie it to another cycle, the all-too-seasonal experience of the outside world being very cool, and the safety of home being enough to warm you up. If that experience speaks to you, then take these words on board. Make some new connections, linkages in your mind, and enjoy the triggered effects that will follow. Now listen, and relax further as you do. Warm, rocked in the embrace of a voice which exists only to help, which unites with your mind and carries you to some warm places indeed. Arousal exists in you, always, waiting to be set free. You learn cues, you associate images, experiences, the right voice, the right person, the right sensation. You learn to limit how turned on you are, so you can function out in the world. But the potential is always there, like stored energy locked behind a gate. If you let the safety mechanism slip away from you, the arousal would flood out. Because let's face it, that sheer desperate need when you're really turned on feels sort of good. It puts you in touch with your body, makes you inquire of your senses, and consider your own status. Sure, it's a need, a hunger, a craving, but also a fulfillment of function, and a part of yourself you must want to explore if you're here listening to this. The desire exists somewhere within, to be wet, hot, horny, to feel the flush under your skin, the warmth in your belly, the anticipation of pleasing shockwaves to come, the way your juices have begun to flow, your clit hardening a little to emerge from beneath its hood, becoming more prominent, a tiny sensitive button brushing against clothing or else making you squirm in response to the contact of the open air. So start with the admission of that conclusion. It feels good to let your body be turned on. But to function in the real world, it's necessary to let things get in the way of that pleasurable sensation. To let your own learned restraint hold things back. So maybe you wait for a specific time of day, or for the right stimulus. or for the urge to simply have grown and become too much. When you think of the restraint, the resistance to arousal, how do you visualize it? I'll propose one way of looking at it that might help you have a bit of fun with your own perceptions. I invite you to see your restraint, your resistance to arousal, as a rigid mesh, cool and bright within your mind, holding back the pulsing, organic, needy potential for arousal. A brilliant net, white and pure, a cooling influence that exists in your brain, attaches to your aroused need, your horny desire, and keeps your pussy from becoming too wet with need, your clit from becoming hot and engorged when it would be a problem if it did. Sometimes, wouldn't it be nice to let that restraint flow out of your system, to get everything out of the way, and become the epitome of your own arousal? You might not notice it at first, but when you find yourself hot and wet and ready to go, needy, horny, aroused beyond your limits, it can be a very satisfying feeling to just exist that way for a while. Plus, it makes climactic release even better when you're really turned on before you come, with nothing in the way. So how to turn you on? The imagery of your restraint, the concept of your resistance to arousal, is a bit like the winter chill. After all, we always associate arousal with being hot, horny, warm within, and that small psychological association exists, one way or another. Our bodies become flush with need, a little more ready, a little more eager. Our body heat engine runs a little better when we're turned on, too, with all those hormonal releases telling us what we want, what we need. And the exertion of reaching climax makes us hotter, vents any chill from your body, purges the unwelcome restraint. So why not explore that? Won't you improve yourself by doing so? And visualize with me. Embed these concepts. Anchor them in your mind. Within your mind, you are restraining your own arousal. Always. Always holding it back. Working to keep your pussy from getting too moist and needy. With lubrication, your clit engorging within, poking out of its hood. Your legs have to be kept from quivering, your skin prevented from flushing with desire. You work hard to restrain all of that. Sure, your restraint, your resistance to your own desire to become hot, wet, needy, that resistance is a chill on the horny parts of your brain, a white, frozen restraint. So when you're out in the world, in some cold place, well, you don't feel very horny when things are uncomfortably cold, and there's a draft and you're not in a hospitable, comfortable place. So at those times, the cold enters your body, a bit of warmth leaves it, equalizing out into the air, the environment. At times when you're cool, you won't feel very horny at all. That's just natural. But then imagine that the cold which has entered your body is tied, anchored, associated with your own restraint, with anti-arousal, with your resistance to your body's own horny need. So what would happen when the cold left your body then? What would happen if, every time the cold left your body and you became warm, your anti-arousal resistance left along with it? Your restraint and resistance to your pussy's demands leaving with it? So visualize your mind's structure, your molten sex submitting demands, the chilled force of your restraint holding them back. You have inhibitions that do more than enough to remove your arousal. If they weren't there, you would be wet, your clit would be throbbing, your body hot, your thighs trembling, your skin sensitive, your insides begging for release. And that's a fun way to be now and then. But you can't really explore it, because that resistance to your natural arousal has been built up over time. So when you step into a warm, safe place, your home, your room, a place you know you'll be able to really satisfy yourself, if you could only let go. You don't just let the coldness leave your body. Let the resistance to arousal leave for a bit, too. It'll come back sometime. Of course, when you're satisfied, when you've climaxed, but until then, imagine the place your arousal is kept. The place you store your thoughts about need, your thoughts about arousal. A hot red mass of powerful, horny desires bundled up in you, which is normally held in a net of restraint. But when the cool air begins to leave your body, to let the warmth in, maybe you tie your restraint to that. So the net is lifted, the cage pulled away, the cold leaves and the arousal comes in. As you get warmed physically, your mind also warms up to wet, hot need. You feel your clit throb from within, little waves that make your belly tighten. When the coolness leaves and the heat begins to flow within, your legs clench and you know that when you caress yourself, it will be sublime. Let that be a condition of your mind. When cold air leaves your vicinity, leaves your body, leaves your mind, it takes the resistance and restraint with it, leaving you alone with your arousal, leaving you turned on, your clit rigid, your pussy wet, your insides needing a little stimulation as the air touches your nub where it's poking out from beneath its hood, exposed and vulnerable, but in a warm place. And the warmer you get, such as if you're bundled up under a blanket or working your body until you get so hot and horny you're about to come, the more your restraint goes away, and your arousal returns and rises within you, the horny part of you unrestrained and uninhibited. When heat replaces cold, you let inhibition flow away to truly put you in touch with your own needy body. What normally happens at random will now happen for a very good and predictable reason. After all, isn't that kind of exploration of self a good idea? Isn't that a tantalizing thought? To set up a link between the cold leaving your body and mind and restraint going with it, tied to it, floating up into the air and away, leaving your arousal unveiled. A shiver runs through you, but not of cold, because the cold has gone. So the shiver can only be a shuddering expression of desire and craving from within. The warmer you get, the more free you can be of your normal inhibitions, sweated with your pussy trembling, at one brush of your fingers, your body contorting and squeezing, knowing that the next time you come in from the cold, you can let yourself come from pleasure and ache and need, and you'll feel it flood you, the desire. When you come in from the cold, if you're somewhere safe, somewhere you can be free and coexist with your arousal, with your inhibitions gone, then the cool air leaving your body will be replaced by heat instead, and the cool air will carry away the net of your inhibitions, causing the hidden, contained, needy, horny ache to manifest. You feel your body flush with lust. Your touch between your legs would reveal how wet you are, throbbing as your clit engorges and escapes its hood, as your lips part slightly. As you moan, you might or twitch in the throes of what the escaping cold has left you to. You've been left turned on, freed of restraint for a bit. And since you became warmer and more turned on, as you get warmer, you get even more aroused. Your shivers will no longer be from the cold. You'll be shuddering with desire, and then with release, and then with hunger for more. You'll get warm from being horny anyway. You can bundle up safe somewhere. But if you come in from the cold, and it isn't safe to satisfy your desires, it is still all right to let your body get turned on, to let your mind feel inhibitions and resistance to arousal flow away, because you can act on it later. You'll just step into the warmth and get to feel how horny you are over and over until the opportunity arises to safely satisfy the throbbing need inside of you, freeing the pent-up sexual energy that your inhibition was keeping in check. When the cold restraint leaves your body, along with the actual chill, you feel the heat get let free, washing down from your mind, from the top of your head, to the tips of your toes, priming your body for pleasure, increasing sensitivity, making you wet, hot, needy, shiver with delight, release the desire that is sure to reoccur all season long, as you are subjected to the cold, and then you move into the warmth, and just left panting with desire as the heat enters when the cold leaves. Feel it even now. Perhaps a rogue shiver sneaking through your system, and in its wake you're left wet and hot, horny and throbbing. Maybe you'll feel a little better about needing to shovel the driveway, drive to the store, get up from bed, turn on the heat. In this season, maybe that's just what you needed to get in touch with yourself.